What is this love that we're talking about? And how is it, what can we use something in our own human life that would be kind of like what God is talking about when he talks about God as love? Because love for us is, well, first off, love is just an emotion. Love is an emotion, but with God, it's more than an emotion. It's more than an emotion with him. It is a concrete reality that he is living out. Now, since we have the, Jesus said, if you believe in me and my Father and I will come and make abode, make a house in your heart. We have God in us. We are to reflect God's love out. So we got to get a handle on what this thing is, because we are in a love. Can you imagine this? We're in a love triangle. Ooh, a love triangle. God, me, and you. God, me, and anybody I meet. We are like a mirror that reflects God to others. We may be the only God that they see. And when they are looking for God's love, they may not be looking up into the rafters in the ceiling. Maybe they may be looking at one who calls themselves a child of God. So we're a child of God. So, but it has to be walked out. It has to be worked out. God's being love, is he is always loved. God loves. God so loved the world, so past and present, and then he has unfailing love. So God, there's no break in the action. There's no yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There's just forever and always with God. Love motivates everything he does. He sent his son because he loved us. He wants to have relationship with us because he loves us. He wants us to be at peace with others because he loves others and us. So it directs his activity, it reflects his desires, it is the essence of who he is, he's love. Now, we're going to encounter a couple of problems along the way, a couple of issues, because we may have a misshaped view of God's love because of how we were brought up, because some of the religious experiences that we've had, because of some of the churches or groups that we may have been associated with. For example, I was raised in a denomination where God was viewed more like, I call it the God of the 2x4. You know, 2x4? God of the billy club, okay? And this God, he was always waiting for you to do something wrong. He was always after you, that you would be trying to please God, and he'd be after you because you couldn't please him enough. You just couldn't please him enough. So it's hard to love somebody or consider love from somebody who is trying to beat you into love. I don't know that you can beat anybody into love, but trying to beat you into love. So we got it that shape. Then we also, we look around the world and we see injustice. We see good things happening to bad people, bad things happening to good people. There's something wrong. So all of a sudden our image of God starts to get tilted a little bit. We're not so sure we could love somebody like this, and we're not so sure that what he's calling love is fits so good in what I'm thinking. And then there's the softer God, that we were raised somewhere that I just deserve everything. Ah, God, look, it says he doesn't have to do anything, and God's love. I have to somehow do, if you knew who I was deep down inside, you wouldn't change my relationship with God. I got to do something. And they're all wrong. They're all wrong. So if I have love in me, if I have God's love in me, then I got to get into this thing. But I got to make some choices here. See, I was born at a very young age. And when I was born, a curious thing happened to me. I was fed, burped, and changed on a regular basis. And you know what? I got to enjoy it. I got to enjoy it. And as I grew older, I kept on looking for somebody to change me, burp me, and feed me. And I found out that that was what love was all about. Somebody was supposed to take care of me. And I was supposed to get maximum happiness from my relationship with others. And I was going to get the best I could possibly from God, because look, it says he loves me. So I got a understanding of love that is little off the rails here. So I'm going to have to now, as a human nature, I'm going to have to put on the nature of Christ. The apostle says that it's not I who live any longer, but it's Christ who lives within me. I was crucified with Christ. I am not me anymore, but I am me. He says the spirit and the flesh are going to war against each other. My flesh says, clean me, burp me, and feed me. And God says, no, you got to grow up. When you were a child, you thought like a child. Now that you're an adult, you got to start thinking like an adult. So I'm going to have to make a choice. I am going to make a choice that I want to love. Isn't that weird? See, I made a choice a long time ago. I want to be loved. Now I got to make a choice that I want to love. I really want to love. And it's going to be worse than that. Because if I'm really connected to the vine, and I really want God's love, I'm going to have to make another choice. I'm going to have to ask God to help me love the unlovable. And some of them are my family. Now, come on. You've been to family events where you, first off, you hate to go, and then when you come back, you wonder why you went. You know, it's what happens to us. So I'm going to have to love the unlovable, even that person at work next to me who annoys me. I think, why? Why don't they get a... Yeah, I'd vote for them to get a promotion if they'd get out of here, anything. Get out of here. When we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. We were unlovable. And he loved... This is God's love. This is bad stuff. This is something else. See, our love is based on feelings, emotions, but God's love is not. God's love is based on the essence of who he is. Somebody did this analogy, I don't know if it's any good, but I'll try it. You take a tea bag and you put it in the water, and when you take the tea bag out, there's no way that you can take what was diffused in that water, what was dissolved in that water, you can't take it out in any way, you can't say, okay, I'm going to go over here somehow and take this tea out of this teacup. Same way you can't take love out of God. You can't. It is who he is. It's the essence of who he is. So, now human love, not God's love, I get attracted to others. You get attracted to others. Primarily, why we get attracted to others is because they bring happiness to me and they meet my needs. They make me feel good. But I have a problem with this. Now, I may be the only one, so I'm not going to say we and us, because, you know, you guys may be better shaped than this. Sometimes I have moods, you know. Sometimes I'm up, and sometimes I'm down. I have moods. My emotions go tossed to and fro. God has one emotion, which is love, joy, peace, all rolled up, one. Now, I got another thing, a little confession, you know. Remember, I don't know if the kids still do that. They find those little yellow flowers or any flower, maybe a flower from your yard. He loves me, he loves me not, loves me, loves me not. So we're going to do that with God. He loves me, he loves me not. Things are going good. He loves me, oh, they're not. He loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. I'm going to love God. No, I'm not. I'm going to love God. God's going to love me. Emotions, I'm going up and down, going all over the place and getting all confused. And then circumstances. Oh, honey, I love you and everything. And it's what? Because I burnt your supper. Yeah. Not only that, I broke my shoelace this morning. I knew it was going to be a bad day. I knew it was going to be a bad day. What? What's the matter with us? God has a pure love, a true love. We fall in love. Oh, I just fell in love. Oh, how you doing today? Not so good, I fell out of love. Oh, you fell in love, you fell out of love, you fell in love, you fell out of love. Oh, wait a minute now, this is not good. Or, I no longer feel love. I just don't feel it. I just don't feel it. Well, that's okay. You don't have to feel it. You have to commit to it. You have to understand it. You have to agree with it. I don't care how you feel. God is not going back and forth, but we go back and forth. And then I make a terrible mistake because I'm a human and I'm in the flesh. I confuse lust for love. Well, they both start with L, so they must both be the same, right? It must be the same. Yeah, it was lust at first sight. What? I mean love. I was love at first. No. So how do we learn to love? Now we got God's love. We became Christians. We believe that he died for our sins. We believe we're on our way to heaven, but we want to get a better understanding of this God and this God's love. So how did you learn what love is? How did I learn what love is? We learned it in a couple of different ways. We learned it when we were growing up, okay? We learned it when we were growing up. It was modeled in our family. Now, people love in different ways, and I understand we have different cultures here, so that's even going to make it a little more complicated. But when I was growing up, I saw what people who said they were in love, how they behaved, what they did. Now, sometimes when those people who said they were in love did some things, it was very unloving to me. But they said they were in love. So that must be what love is. But maybe that was a bad model. Maybe, I don't think you can beat people into love. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But I don't think you can beat them into love. But if somebody said that's our relationship and that's how we know we love each other, you say, well, that's a different model. But that's not God's model. Or maybe it was conditional love. I will love you if. If you love me, you would. Wait a minute, no. See, conditional love, God's love is unconditional. He's unconditional. So, some people took a study of humans and they wanted to find out how people perceive love. And they found out that there is a universal understanding of love. There's five major ways that people believe they are loved, and then out of that, that's how they love others. Now the problem is that if we are very strong in one of these ways, we'll forget the others, but God is strong in all of these ways. So here's the first one. It's from a book called Love Languages. I don't know. Anybody read the book called Love Languages? Okay. So, the first one, there are people who know and sense they are loved when they are given complimentary remarks. They are told over and over, I love you. You're doing great. You're doing good. That's how I know. These are words that build me up. You know, it's that old joke. Husband and the wife are going along, they've been married 25 years and they're talking and she says, there's always something I've been meaning to talk to you about. Always something I've been meaning to talk to you. You never, since the day we were married, said I love you. He said, did I say it on the day we were married? I'll let you know when it changes. Well, that woman obviously like to hear she's loved. She'd like to hear that she's loved. You know, even family members, it's an odd thing about family members. Even though it's expected of them, if we try in our own family just to say a thank you, an uplifting word. I know it's your job to take the garbage out, but hey, thanks for taking it out. I know it's your job to shop or clean or go to work or whatever, but you know, I appreciate what you're doing. A little uplifting words. Think about our relationship with God. He gives us uplifting words throughout his word. He tells us, I love you. He tells us, oh, and by the way, men, there are some words that we should never use in a marriage situation. All right, there's some words, there's some situations. One of those situations is if your wife asks you, how do I look in this dress? Go out and wash the car. Do something. Get out of the house. No answer is going to be the right answer. All right? Whew. And just certain words. Words, the Bible says words can kill you. But anyway, so there are words. Then there's time. Now, some of us, we get our love reservoir filled up when somebody spends time with us. You know, you got a kid, and you talk to the kid, and the kid says, geez, Dad, you never spend any time with me. You're always busy. You're working. You're with committees. You're going this. You got two jobs. And I said, I'd like to, but I just don't have the time. So that child is looking for time. I want to spend time. Will you give me your undivided attention? Please give me your undivided attention. When we talk to someone, don't we want their undivided attention? Don't we want eye-to-eye contact? Don't we want to say, do you hear me? Do you hear me? Do you ever listen to people? They come, they're unburdening themselves, and you run the risk of almost giving them advice. They don't want advice. They want to vent. They want to talk. They want to know, did you hear me? And just a few, okay. Oh, I understand. Yes, okay, that's fine. That's enough. And when they get all done, they say, oh, thanks for listening to me and all that good advice. And you go, okay. You know, quality time with words. Think about God. God says, come away with me. Come and spend time with me. Turn off the phone and the TV and everything else. Come into your what? Your prayer closet. Just you and I. Undivided time. I want to have time with you. Same love. See, he has the whole package. We got to work on the rest of it. So the undivided time. We enjoy each other. We're there in a person's time of need. I knew a woman, she visited a... There was a gentleman back in our church whose wife was dying, and she visited in the hospital. It must have been a week or so, almost every day, sitting there talking to the husband, listening to the husband, listening to the husband, talking to the husband. And to this day, he's so thankful. So thankful. Because all that you did, you gave him time, uninterrupted. And you heard his heart. Bible says you weep with those who weep. You gave time. You give self. Selfless love. That's what God's all about. Undivided attention. No distractions. Then there are those who like gifts. Anybody like gifts? All right, let me ask you. You know it's more blessed to give than to receive? Good. I like gifts too. Oh, okay. Nobody's throwing gifts at me. All right. So anyway... They're not interpreting love from, you know, you gave me a 10-carat diamond. I want a 15-carat diamond. What's this thing? Go back to that jeweler and tell him that you got a better wife than that, man. Go get a ring. Stop fooling around here. Not that. These are little words, little things. This is where, you know, think about it. Think about the little kid. Little kid goes out. He's going to find that little dandelion flower, that little yellow flower and stuff. He's going to pick a couple. He's going to bring them to his mother. You know, oh. And she's going to say, oh, you're so special and everything. Isn't that nice? And the father's going to come home and say, what's for dinner? What's going on? Easy, man. How about, you know, it doesn't have to be much. It really doesn't have to be much, you know. I wouldn't suggest it here. Probably in Maryland you get arrested. But in Pennsylvania, you know, there were guys who went through the cemetery, you know. Hey, honey, I got some flowers for you on the way home. Maryland's different. They probably arrest you. We're back up in the hills. Nobody knows what's going on. Anyway, but little different things. You go shopping and you see something. So, you know, my son would like this. My daughter would like this. My mother would like this. My wife, my husband would like this. They would like something like this. I think, you know, let me just pick up. He always said he liked those crackers or cookies or whatever. I don't know. Let me get them. Or, you know, something special, a little something. It doesn't have to be anything big. So we get our love that way because what? We were born, and in our first couple of years of life, people have been giving us stuff. But again, remember, this is just... He is a gift giver. He is a gift giver. He gave us a gift of salvation. He gives us gifts. He gives us little, big, small. We pray about things. I lost my car keys or whatever. He is a gift giver. So it's not. It doesn't have to be big. Then there's acts of service. So they determined that some people are... Decorate the mahogany here. Action speaks louder than words. Forget the little gift. Forget the trinket. Forget the time spent together and get some work done. Clean out the garage. What's the matter with you? Okay, honey. I know what your love language is. And I better do something before your language gets a little too salty here. But anyway, but acts of service. You know, what do we say as Christians? Woman says, oh, man, my husband's out of town. I got these three kids that are running around. They're driving me crazy and everything, you know. And we say, I'll pray for you, sister. I'll pray for you. How about we say, hey, let me get another woman here. And why don't we come over and I'll tell you what. We'll pick up the kids. We'll take them about 5 hours. You know, we'll take them out to the park. Nice weather. We'll do something. Why don't you go out and do something? You know, go shopping. Do something. Go meet with your friends. An act of service. To do something. So some people, they say, I know I'm loved, because life is tough. And actions speak louder than words. What does the Bible say? You got two coats, and somebody needs a coat. What do? You give them a coat. All right? So we meet people all the time that we can have an act of service. But that's not my love language. My love language is words of affirmation. No, we're not talking about you anymore. We're not talking about me anymore. We're talking about Christ within us being lived out. How is that going to work? How is it going to work? Well, I got to understand that he has all the languages, and I got to give to whatever the situation is calling for. And then the last one they talk about is appropriate touch. Now, I know there's different cultures and things. And I know there's a woman back in the old church. And do you know what I mean by the term touchy-feely? You know, touchy-feely? You touchy-feely? Oh, give me a hug. Oh, give me a hug. Oh, give me a hug. I thought, boy, she must have had a tough childhood. But anyway, so what we did, I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do, it's called the A-line hug. I'm not doing any frontal hugs anymore. We're doing sideways hugs here, because you want to be hugged too much, and I don't know what that's all about, but it don't look good. Anyway, so, and man to man. You know, some cultures, other cultures, you give a hearty handshake, put your arm on, you give them a chest bump. Hey, brother, how you doing? Back to caveman style. But anyway, it works. People like that. It's good. There are some people who were raised in a home. I know these people. I know from years of talking with people. They never heard, I love you. They never felt the father's kind touch. They felt a belt. They felt a beating. But they never felt a kind touch from a father. So a touch from a man is odd. But they have melted when somebody says, I love you with the love of the Lord, man. I love you. You know? Anyway, so now remember, we are God's hands and feet. So all of these other things God can do easily. He can give words of affirmation through his word. He can grant favors. He can do things. But his church, that's us, his children, that's us, we are the hands and the feet. So that person, what does it say? You weep with those who weep. What does that mean? I mean, sometimes you just sit there and put your arm around your shoulder. You don't say nothing. There's nothing to say. Nothing to say anymore. There's just a oneness with the person. Sometimes, why do we lay hands on when we're praying for healing? Because there's something in a touch. There's something in a touch. There's something about that appropriate touch. So where is hands and feet? We need to translate a theory of love into concrete love, into things that are doable. They're not too hard to do. They're, you know, we live in a world where Hollywood, you know, and these lovers, are they lovers or are they lusters? I mean, you know, we're reading about this stuff. It's getting crazier anyway, but anyway, so, but we should be the best lovers in the world. We should be exhibited. It should come out of us. Why should it come out of us? Because God put it into us. So once he put it into us, what are we supposed to do with it? We're supposed to. My happiness is based upon how you make me happy. And my joy, not happiness, my joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength, is I am going to be made whole by living a life of love. And when I do some of these things, if I come and do an act of service for you, please, any one of us, don't pay me back. That's not why it's done. It has to be a pure motive. It has to be, I just want to do this. You know, I was thinking about different things. Did you ever... Now with credit cards, it's not as often. But did you ever, you're in a store, and you make a purchase, and you give a $10 or $20 bill, and they make the change, and they give you too much change back. Did that ever happen to you? Very, very rare, but it happens. It's happened to me 3 or 4 times. Every time when I'd say, oh, excuse me, you made a mistake with the change. No, I didn't. Yeah, I think you made a mistake. No, wait a minute. You gave me too much. You gave me too much. Oh, okay, let me look at it. Gee, argue with them. Gonna argue with them. We want to get paid back. We don't need to get paid back. So God wants us to be lovers, love that meets a need, not a you owe me. God is multifaceted. God is not able to be comprehended. He's incomprehensible, and his love is such. But he's asking us to do the same thing. But I need a regeneration. I got human nature. I got too many years on my attitude and on my culture and on my the way it should be. And when I become a child of Christ, I have to renew my mind. I have to get different thoughts and different things into it. I have to behave differently. I have to act differently. And what does the Bible say? It says that the spirit and the flesh are going to be against each other. My flesh is saying, please me, make me happy. My spirit is saying, you go out and make somebody else happy. Don't you worry about you. I'll take care of you, says God. So this is a battle that's going to go on all of our life. But my very nature should be being transformed day by day, little by little. So I'm going to ask a question. And here's what I'm going to do. I am going to put out 4 groups of people. I'm going to talk about 4 groups of people. And at the end, I'm going to ask anybody in one of those 4 groups. And there's 4 groups, so we don't have to identify everybody in the various groups. Okay? And then I'm going to ask you, if you're in one of these groups, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Okay? So here's the groups. I believe that as I was putting this message together, that God is impressing me that some people here in the first group, they need to be set free from an ungodly view of love, that you had poor modeling, that you believe love was physical. You believe that whatever you believe about love. Now, and your upbringing for a father God figure is a little rocky. It's a little rocky. Father was either a little too harsh, or father wasn't there, or whatever. I worked with a woman years ago, and I was talking to her about the love of God, her father. And she said, don't you mention father to me. She said, oh, no, don't mention father. His name had just been in the newspaper that he was arrested again on molestation charges. And she said, if you knew what he did to me and my sister, don't mention father and God in the same voice. Ooh, okay, we got an issue here. So some of us have a poor image of God. We have a God that our image is not right. So we need to find and be set free from that. There's another group that needs to be restored in our love relationship. Bible talks about losing our first love in Revelations. And when I was first saved, well, I don't know about you. You were probably holier than I was, and you led a sinless life and everything was fine and you never did anything wrong. Well, I unfortunately did not. I had some things going on in life. And one of the things was cutting corners and doing things that I shouldn't have done, shortcuts and stuff. And when I got saved, I purposed that I was going to really, really do what the other Friday, whatever it was. And when you came out of the drive-through, you'd come in, it was a busy street, and it would say, no left turns. No left turns, get out of here. And I would make that turn, no problem. And when I got saved, I knew some change happened to me when I pulled up and I went, oh no, I can't make that left turn. I'm going to have to make the right and go all the way around and up and down. There's no cars coming. There's no cars coming. I don't even see any cops. What? This is crazy. And it was, John, you're going to school. You're going to school and you're getting to the obedience class. You better learn right every little thing, not harsh, but you better change because your character has been a little on the side. So now we want to make sure God's saying, we got some things going on here that need to be changed. They need to be changed. So some of us need to be restored in our love relationship with God. When we first got saved, when we first met Christ, when we were first liberated, when we first found out the joy of redemption and so on, we behaved in a certain way. And now we're old timers at this stuff, and you know, a little of this, a little of that doesn't bother. We got to return to our first love. And then we have people whose love is being hindered by the relationships they have because of broken relationships. They have some broken relationships, some hurts, some misunderstandings. And I know maybe it's only one or two people I've ever met in my life, but there are some people who really don't like going to family get-togethers. Can you imagine that? They don't like going to family get-togethers because, you know, so-and-so is going to be there. And that's the whole so-and-so is a so-and-so, I'm telling you. So wait a minute, we have a broken relationship. We're supposed to be, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And part of that reconciliation is going to be fueled by God's love within us coming out. And I know it's difficult because it's against our human nature. And the last group is a group who would resolve to do one thing, just one thing this week that would be almost, now it's going to sound weird, it would be almost unnatural love for you to do. Almost unnatural. You would never have thought to do this, but you're open to God bringing something across your path that you would say, you know what? I think God would approve of this if I did this. I think this would be pleasing to God if I did this thing. And that would be an act that you are taking because of hearing the message that we need to be God's children. So would you stand, please? Stand if you would. And here's what we're going to do. We're getting near the end. So I'm going to ask if you are in any of these classes that you need to be set free from an ungodly view of love, or you need to be restored in your love relationship with God, or you have broken relationships that you need to restore with love, or you will at this day say you're going to do one thing to show that you are going to demonstrate God's love. Would you raise your hand if you're in any of those four groups, any of them? Okay, so we got a lot of lovers in this church, so that's good. Then what I'm going to do, the worship team is coming up. If you raised your hand, and even if you didn't raise your hand, would you come up front and I want to pray for you and with you. Would you come up as you start?